testimony with my health difficulty, and I've been assigned a passage, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." So, you know, the greatest story is the story of Jesus and how he died for our sins, was buried and resurrected, and we have spiritual healing, and that is the greatest story of all. But I am humbled to spend a few minutes addressing the topic I was assigned, and prayerfully it would help you. I believe Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 how he shared a little of his life and the gospel. So my story, I guess, to be punctual, I have 28 minutes to go. So I'll be very mindful of the time, and so to get everything done in 28 minutes, what I'll do is I'll take you back to October 2015, and I'll bring you up to August 2018. So in October 2015, I was I'm still a young man. I was 35 years old, working downtown Houston. My birthday is in the 1st of October. So I get my annual physical, and I went in the first week or so in October, and the doctor says, "Travis, you're in such great shape. We'll see you in 2 years." But on Thursday, October 29, 2015, I'm working downtown Houston. I drove up from Missouri City to downtown Houston. I helped the county employees save for their retirement. So I was sitting with one of the district attorneys and going over her plan. And I was lightheaded in her office. And she gave me some water and a granola bar. She says, "You don't look right." I ate that and I still didn't feel good. My wife was downtown Houston at the Jar Jar Brown for an event. I said, "Gigi, I need you on standby. Something ain't right." So she walks me out to my car. We go behind the courthouse, and a block away from the car, downtown Houston by the adult probation building, there's a bench right there. I wake up on the ground. Somebody said that I fell face down. I'm 6'4". I was over 200 pounds at the time, 215. I fell face down, boom. And I wake up and I hear all this noise around me. Call 911. This man is rolling on the floor and acting crazy. I was hearing all types of things around me. I pulled out my cell phone and I looked at the camera and I saw my tooth was missing. My big front tooth was gone. I had blood on my wrist. I had a suit on and I had some blood on it. I was like, "What in the world just happened?" So the City of Houston Fire Department comes and they drive me to the nearest hospital, and my wife meets me over there, and I was like, "What in the world happened?" Interesting point, right before the City of Houston came, a homeless man came by with a brown paper, and he said, "That's your tooth over there. Would you like me to get it?" I said, "Sure." So he wraps up my tooth and I put it in my pocket, and I'm at the hospital now, and my wife met me over there, and they ran me through the MRI machine. I'm unconscious. I really don't know what's happening. I'm in and out. Okay. You know, so the doctors come, and my wife can tell you more of what really happened because I'm in and out of it. But to make a long story short, they say, Travis, you have a tumor in your brain. It's the size of an egg, and it's life-threatening, and we have to operate on it." So I asked my wife, "Why in the world is this happening? What's going on?" She said she don't know. And by the way, she's a nurse by trade, so you know, a lot of thoughts were going through her mind about the possibilities. But to make a long story short, I'm praying that everything is okay, and I'm getting all the support from the brothers and sisters, especially from the Sugar Land Church of Christ, to pray for me. And Monday morning, they bring me into the operating room. I heard they operated on my brain for 6 hours, and my wife tells me there were like 60 Christians in the lobby just fellowshipping and praying for me.
Amen.
The prayers of the saints are powerful and effective. James chapter 5.
Yeah.
So, but many hours later, I come out that operating room and I'm laying in the bed. And because, you know, when someone cuts into your brain, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you'll ever see again, walk again, talk again. What in the world is going to happen? But I did a lot of praying, and a lot of people were praying for me. And I was at a point in my life where everything I have learned from the church and from the word, this is when the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. So what helped me was I opened up my eyes, and I said, let me see if I can still remember some things. That's the first thing I want to check on, my vision. Do I still have my vision?
Okay.
Do I still have my memory? And then I started quoting James 1. And that's what I'll do in the next 23 minutes. I'll focus on what happened and the scriptures that blessed my life.
Okay.
And prayerfully, these scriptures can bless your life.
Amen.
So I was at a James chapter 1. I'm laying in the bed, and I'm wiggling my toes. Thank you, Lord. James chapter 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy. Think about it. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, knowing that the testing of my faith is going to produce endurance, and let endurance have this perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Amen.
But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. He must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And that man ought not to expect to receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is the glory in his high position, and the rich man is the glory in his humiliation. Not to brag or boast, but I can quote the whole book. But verse 12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trials, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Amen.
So the word was speaking. And it was the point in my life where I needed God more than the air that I breathe.
Amen.
Lord, help me.
Amen.
So I was so grateful and thankful. And the doctors are coming in, and they're telling my wife the possibilities.
Okay.
You see, this tumor, it could be benign or it could be malignant.
Right.
So they sent it over to Baylor University to be tested. And they're prepping us every single day. All these doctors coming into the hospital room telling us what the possibilities could be. To fast forward, my wife, she was hoping that it's not the grade 4. Lo and behold, we got the results. It came back, grade 4, stage 4 brain cancer, glioblastoma multiforme. I say, what does that mean, doctor? And he gave me the probabilities. He gave me the statistics. He says that most people only live 4 months. This is the most aggressive type of cancer. And if we try to treat it with the radiation and the chemo, you'll live about 14 months. My baby girl was 17 months. I was like, it's nowhere in the world I could live 14 months. We gotta have a better solution. This ain't gonna work. 14 months, no. So we need a better plan. That plan ain't working. So I said, Gigi, yeah, this is happening possibly because maybe you'll be the one to find a cure for cancer. Maybe. But God has a better plan. So, but in the hospital, I was in there for 12 days, and every 3 hours, someone is coming into your room. Check, so you never have any really good rest. But to make a long story short, I'm being mindful of the time. 18 minutes. So, Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you desire and it'll be granted you. So I was, Lord, I need you more. I'm asking, lead us, guide us, show us the way, Lord. I have a wife to support and a daughter. We got souls to win, Lord. We have a mission. So step number one, we did a lot of praying and studying. And I know a lot of people were praying for me all over Facebook, Churches of Christ, all over the country, and even outside the country were praying for me. And my wife and I got to work just studying and studying and searching and searching, watching the doors open and close, open, close. We talked to doctors all over the world, Mexico, Canada, Latvia, Germany, France, Japan. We got to find this cure, and we got less than 4 months to do it. We got to figure this thing out, Gigi. We have to. Amen. So a lot of people recommend I go down to MD Anderson. So I got at the hospital a day or two before my wife's birthday in November. I got these metal in my brain, you know, in my head. My tooth is missing. Help me, Lord. And I remember the illustration of Elijah when he was down and he was sitting under a tree. And God just sent all the resources to him, right? And that is what was happening. God was sending the insight, the wisdom, the know-how so we could stay alive, so I could stay alive. Amen. So we went to MD Anderson. We spoke to a really nice brain surgeon, and the cancer doctors are oncologists, three oncologists. But by that time, we got into MD Anderson in December. But by that time, God already had the protocol built. The first part of the protocol was prayer. That was the first part. Amen. You see, in the heart, many, many nights from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., day after day after day after day after day after day, I was walking in a very thin line, you know, the wrong turn, and I could be dead. Yes. But prayer, yeah, 3 hours every single day, Amen. 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So the first part of the protocol was praying, and the second part was meditation. So I learned how to relax my body really well, from my toes to all the way up to my forehead. Relax and go into incredibly deep meditation and prayer, and tell myself the right messages, that every day and in every way, Jehovah Rapha is making me better and better. In the book of Exodus, you learn about the God who heals. That's Jehovah Rapha. So I repeated that over and over, every day and in every way, Jehovah Rapha is making me better and better. And telling myself I'm a positive person now, I would envision myself elevating into God's hands, right? And I would be down in the hands of the Lord on my knees every single day for hours. And that's the vision that I held in my mind, that my life is in the hand of the Lord. It's in him that I live, move, and have my very being. And in the book of Acts, it talks about the hand of the Lord as well. Either 21:17 or 17:21, but it talks about the hand of the Lord. So I put my life in the hands of the Lord. And through prayer, I wrestled every day. Lord, I need a new brain. I need a new mind. I need healing. Lord, help me. And the depth of the emotion, I really can't express right now, but it's deep emotion. Asking and pleading God for my life. Help me, Lord, to live to see another day. You know, help me to figure this thing out. And I made, you know how people make a very bad choice and make a deal with the devil? I made a deal with God. I say, Lord, My life, my heart, my soul, all I got is yours. Just bless me to live to see some more days. And I'm going to win some souls to Christ, Lord. I'm going to, you know, 1 Timothy 2:4-5 is God's desire for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. So that's step number one. I made a deal with the Lord. My life is yours, Lord. Keep me alive. And you use me, Lord. We still got souls to win. So the second part was my wife was doing research even months ahead on this special ketogenic diet. So we switched out I'm still on it. Still very strict nutrition. Okay. And then the third part was exercise. You see, when you come out of brain surgery, I couldn't run from here to that pew without feeling lightheaded and dizzy, like I want to fall. So when I talk about exercise, I fought for my life. I started out walking. I started out jogging every morning. My wife said, don't jog because, you know, your head is... I said, I got to fight. So I keep jogging and then I'm running. And 7 days a week. So it's almost 3 years now, and I'm still exercising 7 days a week, fighting, because I had to get my oxygen back. Life is it's tough when you don't have your oxygen. So and then the fourth part of the protocol was we got the right supplements. Okay. And that's where my wife is a specialist at. So she makes sure I was putting the right things into my body. And we learned about frankincense. God talked about frankincense. They brought it to, it was good for Jesus, it was good for me. She went into the medical journals and talked, and she learned how this is great for this. It's called cellular apoptosis. It destroys the bad cells. And I mean, she's incredible. But we got the protocol in place.
Amen.
But let me get back to MD Anderson. The brain surgeon, she was really nice. But she said, this is a high-risk operation, and the tumor is still there. In other words, the first brain surgeon just took a biopsy. In other words, my wife saw the discharge paperwork and he lied. He didn't take the thing out. And that's a whole nother story. I don't got time for lawsuits. I got to do what I got to do to stay alive. Right? I can't afford to go, you know, become stressed. I was stressed for about 30 minutes, but we got to get back to the protocol.
Amen.
And put it in the hands of God. So she says, this is what we got to do. We have to do another surgery, and we have to do the surgery with your eyes open.
Ooh.
Yes. Because the risk is so high that if we cut into your brain, because this thing is on your motor track and it's growing rapidly, you could be paralyzed on your left side for the rest of your life. And at the very best case scenario is that you can be, you know, when you come out the dentist and you feel that puffiness, you'll feel like that for about, he said, 6 months? 6 weeks to 6 months. So I was like, I can't go through that either. I said, doctor, we got to find another way. Yeah, so to make a long story short, the protocol is working. The church, I had incredible support. You know, the leaders put on a great fellowship for me to encourage me. This was in December 2015. I had some support from some people in the world as well. One of the NFL player by the name of Brown, one of the few that got paralyzed on the field. He's in Houston. He came out and said some encouraging words. The NFL players, the main guy, what's his name? Tracy. JJ, yeah, JJ. JJ Watt sent me his doll, and they wrote some kind words. They would have come too, but Arian Foster didn't believe in God, so he didn't want to come to the church building. And Tracy McGrady sent a personalized video. Travis, you know, the basketball player, Tracy?
Yeah, Tracy McGrady.
Tracy McGrady. He said, Travis, get well soon, buddy. So I had all types of people rallying to motivate me to stay alive.
Yeah.
So I'm doing really well. The MRIs are showing that the tumor is not growing, actually shrinking some.
Amen.
Around Memorial Weekend 2017, let's see how much time, 9 minutes in 2 years. So in 2016, I hit my head at the back of the car, and that created something called a hematoma, which is blood in a certain place. And but I'm still going to work and letting nothing stop me. I kept on working every day. I even worked in a hospital when I could. I believe 1 Timothy 5:8, I got to provide for my family, right? I really believe that verse. I'm a strong believer.
Amen.
So I say, God is going to make it happen. But we went to the hospital, they did a CAT scan, and I never did any follow-up. They said do a follow-up, but every day I got this thing leaking out of my head. My wife told me to get it checked out, but it wasn't bothering me. I say it could be the tumor or something leaking. I don't know. but I just had to fight. I had bigger problems.
Amen.
A little oozing is nothing compared to a tumor in your brain. I had to deal with these gigantic medical bills and expensive supplements. And I had a lot of issues. So that was minor.
Yeah.
When you have 4 months to live, everything is minor. Everything is minor. So, but to make a long story short, 2016, yeah, so for like almost like a whole year, I got this thing leaking until it fell apart. It fell apart in 2017, right before Easter Sunday weekend, Resurrection Sunday weekend. We're going down Highway 6 to the church building in Sugar Land, and my wife is like, "What is that?" And she touched it, and she acted like if it was like electricity or something. I touched it. I was like, "Yeah, that's metal, Gigi. Let me see if I can push it back in." It wouldn't go back in. I said, "Okay, I'll just go see the doctor tomorrow." She says, "No, you got to go see the doctor now." She has a very smart cousin that works in a med center too, Sister Franklin. She goes to Fifth Ward. She's a medical doctor, very sharp lady. She said, "Gigi, that's a medical emergency. Take Travis to the hospital." I said, "Do I really?" Well, to make a long story short, I get into Memorial Hermann in the emergency room that same day, that Sunday, and they roll out the red carpet for me.
All right.
You just walk right in, and all these doctors are treating me like if I'm somebody famous. Yeah, it was a serious problem. To fast forward, I had a serious infection in my brain. The infection was down to the dura. The dura is about a millimeter above the brain. In other words, just a millimeter into my brain, a millimeter, and I would be dead. So, yeah, the doctor cut into my brain again. I had a one-on-one conversation with him. I told him, "You can fix the hardware, but don't touch my brain." He says, "You got two problems. The tumor is still there, and we got the hardware and the infection." And so it was a successful surgery.
Amen.
The scripture that kept me encouraged was Jesus said in Mark 11, 22 to 24, and Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God."
Amen.
Have faith in God. Yes. Brothers and sisters, where is your faith?
Amen.
Have faith in God. He says, "Therefore, I say to you," he says, "Truly I say to you, you who say to this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt, but believes in his heart that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, all things, did he say some things? A little bit of things? All things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received, and they'll be granted you." Yeah, so I came out of that surgery successfully. Had this thing going through my arm, coming right above my heart for about 8 weeks, called a PICC line, to fight the infection. And Let's bring it forward to 2017 October. I got the MRI and my brain surgeon says the tumor grew a little bit, Travis. I changed up my diet a little bit. I got a little too comfortable. I had a little too much sugars. See, sugars, I believe, fuel the tumors. So anyhow, but he's pitching to me, when do you want the surgery? Every time I see him, he wants to cut. I said, I wanted my head cut open again. So he says, what are you going to do? I said, don't worry, doctor. I got this. I got this. And sometimes the doctors, they try to scare you. He says, this tumor is coming close to the optic nerve. In other words, what he was trying to tell me is that this thing is going to blind me any day now because it's fast growing. You know, that's how they trained on it. So I say, don't worry about it, doctor. We got this. Okay. All right? So let's see. 3 minutes. So just on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, that's August 2018, my brain surgeon rolls up to my house in his Infiniti. Very nice car. Collecting samples of my body because he wants to know what's keeping me alive. In other words, he's doing a research study on me. Wow. But a week before, he sent his researchers, and I was teaching them the scriptures. I was trying to tell them that there's a God, a physician called Jehovah Rophe. And Mark 11:24, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received and they'll be granted you. Amen. And James chapter 1, verse 2, we heard earlier, if you ask, you got to ask in faith without any doubting. And God is the giver of life. Amen. And if he can give life and he can take life. Yeah. So I serve a doctor, the great physician, a God who has never lost a case. Amen. So part of my healing, I don't know when they're going to write it in the medical journals, but healing, James chapter 5, okay. If anyone is sick, yeah. Let him call the elders, and the elders anoint them with oil, and the prayer is offered in faith, will restore the one who is sick.
Yeah.
Right? So God heals. I gave my life to God, and here I am today.
Amen.
All my numbers at the physical and everything is coming out well. But it's so much more that I can share. But I didn't even get a chance to handle my assigned verse. So let's talk a little bit about Peter. We got 2 minutes, 1 minute. Yeah, so Peter is an amazing book, just like James. A very practical Christian examples. First, Peter talks about the great salvation, and how your faith in verse 7 in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 talks about how your faith is worth more than gold.
Yeah.
An ounce of gold right now is over $1,250 an ounce. But your faith is worth way more than that. So if your faith is worth more than gold, you got to ask yourself, what am I investing in?
Amen.
We got to invest in our faith.
Amen.
It's valuable.
Yeah,
right? The book of Jude talks about build yourself up in the most holy faith. But our faith, brothers and sisters, is worth more than gold.
Amen.
And the reason I'm alive today is because of faith.
Amen.
You see, I don't want to call names, but I don't think anyone knows Steve Jobs personally. But even with billions of dollars, he couldn't buy that cure. But faith makes a difference.
Amen.
Faith is a difference maker.
Amen.
Chapter 2. Well, chapter 1 is about the great salvation. Chapter 2 is about the great example. And that's my assigned verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 to 22. For you have been called for this purpose. My time is up. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. You see, Abraham, Moses, Noah, they were all great men. Paul, Titus, Timothy, name them all. They were great examples, but Jesus is the greatest example.
Amen.
Right? He gave us an example for us to follow. right? That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And he committed those, so we are to follow in his steps, right? Are you becoming like Jesus, brothers and sisters? That's our example. It's not LeBron James. He's doing great things for the young people in the schools. But we got to teach LeBron, too, how to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he did not utter threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Verse 24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, you are healed.
Amen.
And I'll leave it to the other speakers this morning to really close it out with the salvation in Jesus.
Amen.
And by his wounds, how we are healed.
Amen.
Chapter 3 is very important to, verse 15 talks about sanctify Christ in your hearts. See, Jesus has to be in our heart. And it says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. So, brothers and sisters, if we are alive, we have a great responsibility.
Amen.
And that responsibility is to make known the manifold wisdom of God.
Amen.
To let the world know that faith in Christ is the very best life.
Amen.
Chapter 4 in 1 Peter talks about the great name, Christian. Right? And if we're going to suffer, let us suffer as a Christian.
Amen.
Right? And Acts 11:26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch.
Yes.
If you're a Christian, you are a royal people, a holy nation, a royal priest, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, a chosen people.
Amen.
It's wonderful to be a Christian.
Amen.
Are you excited and happy and joyful to be a Christian?
Amen.
We are special people. Chapter 5, he does remind us about the great enemy.
Okay.
That's the devil.
That's it.
Like a roaring lion,
yes,
seeking who he can devour. And if he can get us while we're young,
Woo,
he can do some serious damage.
Yeah.
Remember the Lord in the days of your youth.
Yeah.
We can do so much as young people for the Lord.
Amen.
So remember the Lord. And 2 Peter talks about knowledge, at least 16 times. Let's continue to grow in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
So that we can test and approve what God's will is. Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so we can test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just happy to be alive.
Amen.
What about you?
Amen.
So I'm very thankful to be able to share this message.
Thank you.
And my time is up. I don't have any time for questions and answers, but I plan to be here all day. So you said that'll be good?
Yeah, we're gonna have a panel.
Okay, plus we'll have a panel discussion, so we'll handle it in the panel discussion.
Amen.
But stay strong in the Lord, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Let nothing move you. The Christian life is the very best life.
Amen.
And it's because of Jesus Christ that I'm able to stand before you, and people ask why I'm always smiling. My smile is genuine. I could have been 6 feet under. I smile all day. Plus, it's good for your health. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you.